Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Amen. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in God's presence? Please have your seat majestically as you extend the welcome, you know, handshake to people around you. Just tell them you're welcome this evening. How are you doing? I want to welcome every one of us watching us online from whatever part of the world you're joining from. For some of you, it's still like midday. For some of you, it's evening like we are. And for some of you, it's 7 a.m. in the morning. But whatever it is, greetings from here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tonight, by God's grace, we're just going to have the concluding part of the message that we started last week. And, you know, on Sunday, I was just bubbling with excitement as Pastor Folake was, oh my God, you know, taking that session of walking in dominion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, there is nothing as beautiful as, you know, our eyes being opened to our true position and our true inheritance in God. The Bible says that through knowledge shall the just be delivered into his inheritance. True knowledge. So you can have an inheritance, but because you don't know, your eyes is not open to it. You can't have access to it. So the moment there is an unveiling, just like the Bible speaking in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, as we behold, as in a mirror. So when we look at God's word, we are beholding like in a mirror with a face that is unveiled. So it's not a face that is still covered, a face that is unveiled. We are now looking. We are looking into the mirror. We are looking, hallelujah, into the mirror, seeing the glory that God has packaged for us, seeing the dominion that God has packaged for us. So as we look and we have understanding, we are transformed into the picture that the word paints. We are transformed into the picture that the word of God paints about us, from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I know that the Spirit of God is upon me and he has anointed me to declare the good news tonight. Hallelujah. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted tonight. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a complete mission tonight under the mandate of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we started on how to take, you know, delivery, how to profit with the words of prophecy through prayer, how to take delivery of words of prophecy through prayer. Hallelujah. And last week we started, you know, on a very interesting note, understanding the fact that when God releases a word ahead, he releases light into situation. God's word is light, you know, into situation. God's word is light. It says you will enlighten my darkness. You will lighten it up. The areas where I don't have understanding, I'm not clear, I'm in confusion, you will lighten it up, you know. And when God's word comes, prophetic word comes, it comes as light. Hallelujah. You know, but I'm not going to be dwelling too much on that. I'm just going to move further tonight so that we are able to wrap this up. 2 Peter 1 verse 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. It says, knowing this first, prophecies never came by the will of man. So it's not just someone sitting down, cooking up something, and just releasing words. No. The Bible says that who says a thing and it will come to pass if the Lord has not commanded. So it is the word that has been commanded by God that it's prophecy. Hallelujah. He said it doesn't come by the will of man, but holy men of God. Holy men of God. People that secreted unto God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, by the time you also look around and you see declarations at the beginning of the year, you see a lot of people in the body of Christ, they are now confirming, you know, but we've received this word even since September, you know, last year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it wasn't concocted. It was given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing you should know here is that when the Bible talks about prophecy of the scripture, it talks about all the written words in the word of God for us that different people, different authors were inspired by the Holy Ghost to speak or to write for us, using it as a template of the experience we have in these later days when the Spirit of God has been poured out. So the same way we receive prophetic word now, that's the same way men were inspired by God in the time past to do amazing things. And it's important that we remind ourselves that prophecy is God communicating his mind to his people. Prophecy is God communicating his mind, his counsel to his people. So we have prophecies that have been declared in time past that is written in the scriptures that are still valid today. We have prophecies that have been inspired through men of God declared today. So, but whichever one, either it's the written word that you have or the one that's been given now, is still prophecy and it's communication from God to mankind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, one interesting thing that I also saw about prophecy is let's see Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, at the time that this prophecy it's been declared, is there a name attached to the virgin here? Is this Virgin Mary shall conceive? He said, the virgin shall conceive. The requirement is that it has to be a virgin. It has to be. Yeah. So, whichever virgin that is going to be, that particular virgin will conceive, bear a son, and the name of that son shall be called Emmanuel. I want you to take note of this. That particular virgin shall conceive. You see, when God gives a word, the word actually highlights on the person that positions for it. You see, God is never in a position where he is stranded. If at the time that this word was going to come to fulfillment, if Mary had been doing what, you know, some other girls in his days were doing, and she was no longer a virgin, this will never have highlighted on her. The whole record that we now heard about Mary will never have been possible about her. Because you see, God can never be stranded. And there is no single, Bible says that no tittle, no dot, no mark, no punctuation in his word will not come to pass. So we should understand that when God's word comes to us in the body, it comes as a blank check. When God releases a prophetic word over his body, it comes as a blank check. You can write your name on it, and you can choose not to write your name on it. So what are you going to do with the word that has come to us as a blank check for this season? Hallelujah. So we're talking about how to profit to the word. And last week I mentioned that the first thing is that you have to believe. The first thing you have to do is to believe. The first thing you do about prophecy is to believe. You know, you want to profit with this word of prophecy as we engage in prayer. The first thing is you have to believe. If you don't believe, you will not see. It says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. That was the words of Jesus to Mary and to Martha. It says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews 4, verse 2. We're going to read it in different version. It says, for indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. That is, this good news, this prophetic word was declared to all of us. So the way we received it, the way we heard it, that was the way they also heard it. Now listen, he says, but the word which they heard did not profit them. The word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The question is, are you allowing those words to mix with faith in your heart? Are you allowing those words to mix with faith in your heart? Please, I want another version. Okay, for this good news that God has prepared this rest. How many of you believe that when God gives a prophetic word, is the positioning of rest that he has prepared? You know, when when we assume a position of dominion, we gain ascendancy, we have the upper hand, we have influence. It's not a position of struggle. How many of you know that it is not a struggle? Jesus does not struggle with principalities and power. He does not. The Bible says that having spoiled principalities and power, he make a public show of them, triumphing over them in it. He spoiled them. He's not moved. He's not perturbed. He's in a position of authority of rest. And that's where he puts us with his words. When God releases his words, the words empower us with his rest. Hallelujah. He said, has been announced to us just as it was to them. How many of you got the announcement? Glory to God. How many of you got the announcement that this decade is a decade of possibility? Hallelujah. We got the announcement that there is strategic placement, there is unprecedented favor, there is harvest of soul, there's financial baton being transferred. We got it. We all got it. He said, but it did them no good. So there are two categories here. The categories of those that the announcement did good. We that the announcement did good. I don't know where you belong. We that the announcement did good. And those that it did no good. It's unfortunate. Because they didn't share the faith of those who listen to God. They didn't share in our common faith. Hallelujah. We must allow this word to mix with faith in our heart. And how do you get God's word to mix with faith in your heart? By meditating on it. Meditating on it. Meditating on it. You see, when you stay with God's word enough, when you stay with God, you know, Pastor Ake was asking a question on Sunday, that how many people have sat down and taken time to study on dominion? There is word for now that has been spoken. There is the logos that is written. So every word for now, which is the rhema, the inspired word for now, have its fruit, its foundation in the written word, the logos. So when you take your time to study the logos help you build more like structure, platform for the rhema to thrive. Hallelujah. Because you see, when you don't have the logos supporting your rhema is empty. So the more you dig deep on the word, into the word, then your eyes is being opened to the depth, the breadth, the extent of the spoken word that you've received. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1 verse 5. I'm sure you're probably familiar with that story. Story of Zechariah. Said there was in the days of Herod, the certain king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. You know, Zechariah was the husband of Elizabeth. And for you to know the story, you know, they were already old and, you know, they didn't have any child at a old age. You know, at an old age, they were both old, didn't have any child. You know, almost similar to the situation of Abraham, you know, and Sarah. The only thing is that we didn't get to know their age specifically, but they were pretty old, right? Verse 17. Because God gave a promise. God gave a promise to Zechariah. Let's read verse 18. I want us to see the positioning of Zechariah. This is someone that is a high priest, that is serving in the presence of God in the temple. And the angel came to me that even though you are hold all of these things, you know, this is the word of the Lord to you. You will have a child. This is the word of the Lord to you. Now let's see response. Verse 18, it says, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Please, can you switch to another version? I want to see another version. You know, maybe CV, NLT, fantastic. See the position. It says, how can I be sure this will happen? You know, this is someone who has been serving in God's presence. He's been making the incense, making all of those things, you know, going into the inner court and all of that. And he had a spectacular experience, an angel appearing and giving him words. And you expect that the fact that he has an angelic visitation, he doesn't need to be doubting and all that. Then he threw up his cap, that man. Kosheleri, Abi. You know, how will this happen? You know. But the question I have in my heart is that, is it that he never read about Abraham? You know, because this is not that his own generation is before Abraham. This is generations after Abraham. And he's a priest, high priest. So what happened? Where did that gap, you know, come in? It means that he was just doing it functionally. He didn't really have deep roots in this world. But you see the mercy of God. He told angel, he said, how can I be certain or be sure that this will happen? Because I'm old man now, my wife's also well her long years. Verse 19. Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I am not Wozwobio. I am Gabriel. I'm the messenger of God. Ah. So he said, okay, I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good. I didn't send myself. Verse 20. But now, since you didn't believe what I said. You will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. Imagine. But you see, what is still playing out here is God's mercy. It's God's mercy. God's, because the time for the fulfillment of the prophecy had come already. And somebody wants to, you know, truncate the process. He wants to, but the angel wouldn't allow. Instead of you to truncate the process, we turn you to dump. You will only be able to hear, you won't be able to speak until this happens. You know, but you see, I like the way scripture is complete. He said we should not be like mule and horses, that you have to put some gadu in your mouth to push you where you're supposed to go to. You shouldn't be forced before you enter into the promises and the blessings. You should open your heart and receive it. But see another person, Luke chapter 1, the same Luke chapter 1, verse 37, 38. When the word now came to the angel, let's do 36. Okay. Let's do 35. We'll just run through it. But where we want to read is later. Say the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come. No, verse 34. Mary asked the angel after the word has come. He says, but how can this happen? See the question. How will this happen? Versus, how will I be sure that what you have said you will do? The first one was a clear message of doubt. That, how can I be certain that, well, yeah, show me, you know. But the second one says that, what's the method? Because I am a virgin. What's the approach? Remember that, you know, last week I was saying that God have a million ways of getting whatever it is that he has said to come to pass. And by the time you think, maybe at most you think of 2, 3, or 4. That's the best that you can do. But he has 1 million ways. Angel replied, he gave her the formula. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. Verse 36, let's move fast. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. Verse 37, for the word of God will never fail. And see Mary's response. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. See position. Can you take a position that, yeah, I'm a child of God? Every of his declaration over me comes true. So as you wake up in the morning in prayer, you are giving him thanks because you are a child of God, that everything he has said concerning you, it's coming true. Positioning, you have to believe. Look, verse 45 of that same chapter. That chapter is loaded. It says, blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance. King James Version, for there shall be a performance of those things that were spoken. It takes believing to see actualization. It takes believing to see performance. We have to believe. The second thing that we have to do as we get into prayer is that we must learn to announce or declare those promises of God. You must learn to announce and declare it. It must become your new language. It must become your new language. You must declare it. You must announce it. You must chant it. Because you see, the devil will always come around you with situations that negate the reality of what God's word has said to you. You will always have to struggle. You will always have to fight. You will always have to, you know, see things looking as if all the hell has been let loose to ensure that that word does not come to pass. But in the midst of it, you must announce it. You must declare it. And you see, I'm going to just show us a few things in the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before you, that you might by them war a good warfare." War a good warfare. You see, the warfare comes in the place of your declaration. You see, once you allow the devil to alter your confession, the devil will alter your result. Once the devil can alter your confession, once he can change it, once he can adjust, modify your confession, your outcome will be modified. You know, the reason, one of the main reasons why believers experience lesser manifestation than the revelation of God is because we allow the language of this world to take over from the language of the kingdom. You know, when God told the children of Israel that let no inhabitant of the land say, "I am sick," it was a position that he placed them. As far as you are concerned, you are not going to be sick. You are not going to be weak. And never allow any situation to get you to that point where the declaration over yourself is that you are sick or that you are weak. Language. Language. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Going to read 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." You know, a lot of times we try to imitate the people of the world. We try to act like them. We try to, in a bid to want to blend in, we try to use their slang. You know, oh my God, you know, one of the words that, you know, pastor hates, okay, let me use the word dislike. Maybe hate is a strong word. The one of the words that pastor dislike is what? Hustle. Yeah, I'm a hustler, man. I'm a hustler. Hustle. You see the person jumping from pillar to post, man, trying to make ends meet, trying to. You see, what we see, the image we see of ourselves, the declarations that we make of ourselves, shapes our reality. Until we begin to see ourselves in the light of God's word, the reality of the fact that, yes, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So we don't have to be conformed to this world. We don't have to. We don't have to. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Don't allow the language of this world to become your language, literally. God spoke to Isaac now. He says, don't say confederation to what these people say confederation to. Don't fear their fear. In this world, there are things that people fear already. There are so many predictions about 2023. And guess what? There are people that's what they feed their mind on every day. And they wake up in the morning, they want to go and check all the breaking news. Oh, there was, earthquake somewhere. There was accident somewhere. There was this. I mean, they just have all the lowdown of the bad news. Because their mind is conditioned that the world is a place of bad. They wake up in the morning not expecting anything good. It's bad news. And some people believe that life is about struggling. Literally struggling. When the Bible says that fight the good fight of faith, it's saying that we have to use the word of God to contend against what the world is projecting at us. Because the world will want to project its own culture. The world will want to project its own mindset. The world will want to project that is contrary to the will and the plan and the promises and the prophecies of God. We must fight a good warfare. And the way to do it is in the announcement. You declare God's word. You declare God's promises. And you see, there are singular lines that we receive as the Rhema word for now, the prophetic word for now. Like I mentioned, these prophetic words are supported by the Logos. Hallelujah. If all you take is the Rhema word for now, and you don't go back to study the scriptures daily to get your mind renewed, Romans 12:2, get your mind renewed, you realize that you are beginning to conform to the world. So if by today, the 25th of January, you are already struggling that, this year, is it still possible? Will it happen? You're already pushing some realities that maybe this one is for 2024. It means that you've allowed yourself to slack into the world. You are withdrawing into the mode. Please, can you give this in message version? Someone needs to hear it in message version. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. How do you fix your attention on God? By looking into the perfect law of liberty. By keeping God's word ahead of you. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. See, it doesn't come from outside in. Outside is corrupt. So when you spend time, it comes from inside out. Inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to his level of immaturity. So it's clear that the culture around us, it's what is tagged migraine. You know, that you wake up and you're feeling headache does not mean that you have headache at that time. It's a feeling. And it could be that when you slept, by the time you were sleeping, you didn't take enough water and you've been dehydrated. But you see, some people will just possess this right now. Man, headache. You see, speak over your body. Speak over the situation. That's what you should be doing when you are praying, not complaining. You should be announcing God's counsel. Not complaining, not even begging, announcing it. Announcing it. No matter how bad this situation is, I'm gaining ascendancy over you. No matter how bad this health situation has lingered, I am dominating over you. My reality is dominion. No matter how hard this financial situation might be, I am dominating over you. You see, there is no valley too deep for God to fill. So no matter how deep into financial mess you might think you are, God can wipe that whole financial debt, whatever situation, within a blink of an eye. But the question is, why you are still there, do you believe God's word enough to announce it? He says, I wish above all things that you prosper. God's desire for me is prosperity. For I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ towards me, that even though he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty, I become rich. It's a year of dominion. I'm walking in prosperity. I'm walking in abundance. No matter what it seems like, I am walking in abundance. I am walking in abundance. I am walking in abundance. Declaring God's word. Announcing it. You see, one of the things that we don't realize is that every time we are declaring God's counsel, declaring God's word, we are actually prophesying. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in our tongue. The power of life and death. So each time you make declaration, either casually or intentionally, you have used the power of life and death that is in your tongue. Remember, the Bible says that do not say before an angel that it was a mistake, it was in error. I know, I was just gisting with my friends. So just a gist now, we were just playing. No. You know, the Bible talks about Esau. It says, let no one be like Esau, because he's a jester and a fornicator. Don't be like him. He's a jester. You know, you say, gone. What kind of joke? What kind of... We have to be conscious. We have fun. We have a nice time. But we are mindful of the kind of words that comes out of us. Thank you. Lest there be no fornicator or profane person. There are a lot of questions that we have, but the Bible answers. Now, why is it that it was Jacob that carried the blessing? Go and check the lifestyle of Esau. He couldn't have carried it. He couldn't. And you see, this was what I was saying about, the virgin that shall conceive. It was a blank check, right? The blessing that was being perpetuated from generation to generation was a blank check. It was just going to continue. By the virtue of, who came first, he was supposed to get it. But the question is, what were the things that he was doing? Announcement, confession, what we say, what kind of conversation do you have? What kind of conversation do you have? Bible says that he that works with the wise shall be in how you use your words. In how you use your words. Wisdom is expressed in how you use your words. When you use, David had to pray a prayer. He said, Lord, set a guard on my lips. Set a guard on my lips. God bless you. Say, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Psalm 141 verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over, keep watch over the door of my lips. he was the one that, wrote the psalm, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be accepted. You see, there is a record for these things. There is a record. Bible says that the man will be judged by words. Every word that proceeds out of our mouth will be assessed, will be judged. What kind of words comes out of you? If we're going to profit with the prophetic word, we have to sanction, scrutinize our words this year. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let your words be seasoned with grace. Let your words be in alignment with what God's word says. Hebrews 13, verse 6. We didn't read it. Please put 5 and 6 together. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Be content with the words that he has given you. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, when God speaks a word, our responsibility is to declare based on the words that we have spoken. He said, he himself has said this, so we may boldly say. For he has said, so we may boldly say. He has said it's a year of dominion, so we may boldly say. Irrespective of the situation, we can boldly say it. That this decade is a decade of possibility. We boldly say it. That there is strategic placement. There is unprecedented favor. We boldly say, because he has said it. Developmental project being accomplished. We boldly say it because he has said it. It's this decade. Decade of possibility. Hallelujah. He has said it. We believe it. We announce it. So what announcement do you make in your home when you wake up in the morning? What forms your... So when we say that you should have confession, we are saying that you are taking position with God. You are declaring God's blessing, declaring God's word. You see, over time, those confessions of faith that you derive from the scripture, they become your vocabularies. They become your lingua franca. It becomes your everyday language. You see, the devil does not have any power on its own. Jesus has spoiled principalities and power. The power or the influence that the devil uses against us is the influence that we give to him. How we carelessly yield power to him. Through our fear, through our words. Through our fear, through our words. Job said, the things that I feared greatly has come to me. When the position that God wants us to be is position of rest. Philippians 4 verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing means nothing. Like the, you're hearing boom. And it's just saying be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. No matter how bad, how terrible that situation might be anxious for nothing. Even when immediately you hear the news or immediately the incident happens, what comes straight to mind is the worst case scenario. Be anxious for nothing. The instruction at that time is that the first thing you do, but in everything by what? Prayer. In everything by prayer. Supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. So at that moment, it seems as if the situation had gone out of hand. What you do first is prayer. It's prayer. Father, I thank you because you are in control of the situation. Thank you, Lord, because you are the Lord over all the hurt and you are the Lord over the situation. I ask in the name of Jesus that you intervene right now. And whatever it is, you declare it. If it is life that you want to be restored to the person, you declare, I restore life into this person right now in the name of Jesus. If it is a negative result, you know, I overturn this result now in the name of Jesus. You see, the reason why a lot of things that we think we are believing God for did not happen the way we were believing God for it is because we changed our mind. A lot of times, you see, you know how you change your mind. You change your mind. You change your mind. You gave up. You see, one of the things that you should know about believers, please, I want you to take note of this. And it's important that every believer, we understand this and we make it a part of us. Is that life cannot be forced out of a believer until he gives up. Life cannot be forced out of a believer until such a person gives up. A man of the Spirit can only yield his spirit. When you are born of the Spirit, until you yield your spirit, you remain alive. So you see people going through coma for days. Their spirit will not leave them. Their spirit will not leave them. Their spirit will not leave them. And you say, after 30 days, after 40 days, they were not feeling, they just knew that there was just one pulse somewhere. Because it will not yield the spirit. When Philip was going to go, with all of the stoning and all of that, the Bible says that he looked into heaven and he saw Jesus standing. You know, I mean, Jesus was like, boy, you've done well. But the guy now say, I yield my spirit. You know, I know that there was some disappointment that Jesus was felt there. That, oh boy, let's show them what this life, this Zoe life can do. So the guy just yielded. You see, until when Jesus said, it is finished, that was when he yielded. Into your hand, I commit my spirit. And he left. Every believer must have that mindset. You don't have to be a preacher to have it. You must have it. Nothing can force life out of you. Nothing. No, as in, think about it, nothing. You see, these are the things that we say as believers, and they say we are proud. But you see, when you stay with the Logos enough, you will see the true picture of who you are in Christ. So then you now start counting from the, you know, all the patriarchs, people that God worked with. You realize that it took an intentional giving up for them to die. You see, the reason why John the Beloved could not be killed was that the guy refused to yield. The guy refused. You know, we've heard different times. Oh, it's because of the assignment that God has for him. See, that assignment of revelation could have been given to any of the apostles. The guy will not yield. They put him in boiling water, in boiling oil. Do you know, have you felt, you know, just splash? Just splash of boiling oil. Have you felt it before? Just the splash. Now, we are not talking about the one in your frying pan that splashed you. We're talking about a big pan that could take an entire human being. They threw him there. The guy will not yield. The guy will not yield. They had to banish him in an island called Patmos. Because the guy will not, you see, no matter how bad the impact of the situation on physical body, if you will not yield your spirit, nothing will happen as a believer. The reason why an unbeliever can die anyhow is because that spirit is not there. And that's the distinction between a believer and an unbeliever. Hallelujah. Before this message become part three message. Please go and watch it again. Hallelujah. The third thing, I'll just close with this. The third thing is that thank God for the actualization of the prophetic words. Thank God for the actualization of the prophetic words. When you wake up every day, dominion indeed. Thank you because I experience dominion in every realm. Thank you, Lord, because my family experienced dominion. I experienced dominion in my ministry. I experienced dominion in the marketplace, in my business, in my career. You just declare it over every of your expressions. You declare, thank you for dominion today. Thank you for dominion today. Thank you because everything works together to ensure that I am on top. Hallelujah. You declare it. You declare it. You just thank him for it. You just thank him for it. You know, there are times that what we are familiar with is, you know, always pushing requests to God, pushing requests to God. God, I want you to do this. Ah, God, you know, this rent is due. Lord, you know, this one is due. And you know, again, we need to do analysis of our prayers. How do you pray as a believer? How do you pray? I know pastor has taught, you know, different series, circle of series, with all the different series. How do you pray? Does your prayer reflect your position in God? Or it shows that you are still struggling? You know, a lot of believers, they are still fighting the principalities and power that Jesus has spoiled. From, you know, grassroots level. You know, physical fighting, you know, grassroots. Meanwhile, they have the victory. And you stand from the place of your authority and walk in victory. The Bible says that he has given us a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, I like it, at the mention, not mentions, at the mention. You didn't even say at the mentioning. You didn't say at the mentioning. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And now describe, it says, either the being is in the heavens, in the heart, underneath the heart, just at the mention of one name that is above every other name. Is it depth? Depth is a name, right? What a name is a noun. A name is exactly right, you know. Anything name is what? Is a noun. And what's the description of a noun? Name of what? Person, animal, place, or what? Or thing. That is name that is above every other name. Animal, person, thing, you have every. The mention. And when you mention it, you see, one of the things that we don't understand about spiritual things is that the fact that there is a situation now and you pray about it and there is no immediate result from your prayer does not mean that your prayer is not working. What needs to empower the declaration that you've made is your faith. What you do after you've made that declaration is what determines the result. Thanksgiving. Thanking God that the things that he has spoken about you is coming to pass. Luke chapter 1 verse 46. That was the song that emerged from Mary. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. This is the position that we take. You know, at this point, you know the interesting thing? This was Mary that had gone to visit Elizabeth, and by the time he got to Elizabeth, the moment Elizabeth heard her voice, the baby leaped for joy because she was filled with the Holy Ghost. But you see, how many people are pregnant in month one that actually know that they are pregnant? It's difficult to really know or tell within that week one to week four. Do you get the picture? A lot of women are like 2 months gone before they even realize. But you see, because she believed the word that was spoken. You know, when you read, when you sit down, read, meditate on this, you realize that there was no mention of baby in the womb of Mary at this time. A lot of you thought that the baby connected to the baby, and the Bible says baby connected to baby. It was her voice that the other baby heard. So all her action was from the dimension of, wow, God has visited me with a word. She's just thanking God. She's just full of gratitude, full of faith. Even as lowly as I am, God has visited me with this promise. She took the promise and started rejoicing. Hallelujah. Can someone just take God's word and just rejoice over it? You know, because faithful is he who have said it, for I will bring it to pass. Romans chapter 4, 18 to 20, very quickly. The position of Abraham. Romans 4, 18 to 20. He says, who contrary to hope, in hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse, okay. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years, and deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That's a position. That's a position that even though in the physical reality, the promises that I've received for this year don't seem to be aligning yet, but because I believe the word that he has spoken, and I believe he who have spoken, I thank God for it. So every day I wake up with excitement. Because it's a new day that the Lord has made for the expression of the dominion that he has promised. It's a new day that the Lord has made for the expression of his counsel over my life. Pastor Folake, you know, shed the light on the scripture. You know, oh my God, I'm going back to study the book of Job again. Yes. You know, Job 42 verse 2. Please, throw it up. As we close this evening, Job 42 verse 2. Hallelujah. He says, I'm convinced you can do anything and everything. This is Job speaking to God. He said, I am convinced you can do anything and everything. Nothing and no one can upset your plans. I am convinced. See, this is when the guy that has been suffering, that everybody has turned to practical, they've turned it to, you know, specimen to practice counseling. Was the specimen. Everybody had something to say to counsel him. When he got to that position, that I am convinced that when he comes to God, I am convinced he can do anything and everything. This was the chapter where Job was restored. Everything that he lost, he got double, because he got to that point of persuasion that there is nothing that will change the plan of man. I want us to just be on our feet tonight. You know, as we just give God praise, just give him praise.
This message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,